Hi everyone, it's Michelle, and this is our first call in the Abundance Series. It is February the 6th, 2020, and let's begin in Shavasana. So to start, please find a space where you're not going to be disturbed. Close the door. Let the world go on its own without you for the next few minutes. And create a sacred space for yourself, a space that is yours alone, a space where there's time and space to go inward, a quiet space. Lying on your back, make sure that there's no objects around you that you're bumping into. So take the time to move things away from you so you've got space. If you're driving, please pull over. And if you're not able to lie down, then you can do a seated meditation instead. Lying on your back, bend your knees. Take the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels and then release one leg out and then the other. Let the baby toes drop to the floor. The rest of the toes follow. The legs are a comfortable distance apart. Have some support beneath your head and adjust that head support so that it's touching the shoulders but does not go beneath them. Adjust the head. You can actually use the hands to do that. Place the thumbs at the chin and the hands at the back of the head and extend through the back of the neck, lengthening through the back of the neck, letting the chin be lower than the forehead. Open the chest as well. You can do that by digging the elbows into the floor, releasing the arms to the earth. First, dig the elbows in and open the chest. And then release the arms into a low V, palms up position. And notice the head support might need adjusting then. So just, you know, inch your hands up, adjust the head support, and release the arms again. And come into a position where you are aligned, where you can softly close the eyes and be at ease for a few minutes here together. Scan the body for any tension. Perhaps it's your low back that's not comfortable today. Then raise the legs, be comfortable. Perhaps you're holding tension in the shoulders or the neck and throat, maybe the back of the scalp. Breathe into those spots and let them go. One at a time, breathe into the spot with the most tension, let it go. Practice that sequentially with each breath. Taking time to release at each of those spots of tension. So you can come into a place where there's quiet, where there's ease. Soften the tiny muscles of the face. Let the face be smooth like butter, no wrinkles. Relax and smooth the forehead. Relax the cheeks and jaw. Notice the position of the tongue without judgment. Is it up at the roof of the mouth? If so, release it so it rests gently in the bottom of the mouth. This alone stops us from leaking energy through the day. The teeth are slightly parted. Lips touching, not touching. Soften that hinge point of the jaw near the ears. Let it relax with each exhalation. Feel easier. Watch the breath. Sometimes in Shavasana, it takes a few minutes for the mind to quiet down. Be patient with this process and don't push the thoughts away. There's a difference between pushing thoughts away, that's devasia, aversion, causes suffering, and simply releasing the thoughts, letting them go due to lack of attention. They're so unimportant, so uninteresting right now, because your focus is on the breath. Let go of each thought without judgment. Return again and again to this breath, here and now. Notice any judgments about how the breath should be. Are you trying to make it into something deeper or smoother or more yogic? Let all that go. None of that matters. Just watch the breath. No judgment. See what is. Take this time for yourself. Know that you're worthy. Know that you deserve to take this time for yourself. By virtue of being human, you are already deserving. Deeply take the time for yourself, just watching the breath. And in this quiet space, the mind and heart are receptive. Affirm your own deep worthiness, your own deep love of your life and the world around you. Affirming gently that all is well. Then allow the breath to deepen. Start to move in any way that feels good to you. Bend the knees and roll to the right side. Support your head with your upper arm and weight. Softly open the eyes. Use your hands to press yourself to sitting and return to our virtual circle, camera on whenever possible, so that we practice every week that one-pointed attention focused just here and now. And whatever way you can be here, like celebrate that for yourself. Whether you're here in the recording, you're here live, whatever you can do today, acknowledge yourself, celebrate that for you. So again, returning to our circle. Great to see you all here. And let's hear from one or two of you. What did you love in this Shavasana practice? What did you notice today? Who would like to begin? I can see three of you so far, so you're prime candidates for raising your hand. It looks like Tracy's driving, or she's in the car anyway. So I don't know, Barb, Steve, I think at Carly, you're you know, one of you's up. And maybe Tracy, if you're able to speak, I'm not trying to rule you out. Just want to keep you safe. Who would like to share? Barb, thank you. And then I saw Dottie, just like, so, but Barb, then Dottie, I think you were raising your hand. We'll take that as a raised hand. Barb, you're up first.
Well, it was very special and relaxing after a busy day and having been away from the group for several days. I appreciated having permission to bend my legs because my lower back, and I'm always sort of bones poking into the floor. So being able to bend my knees was nice.
Fantastic. And I love that you said being given permission, and know that you always have that permission and always take that permission. We have permission to take good care of our bodies. And if we don't do it in Shavasana, when we're only practiced there's nothing else distracting us, how would we do that during our day? And if we're not taking care of our bodies through the day, what energy are we leaking all day long that's not being put forward for our mission? So thank you for that. Taking time to be comfortable. If we don't do it here, how are we going to do it in our companies and in our world? So love that. Thank you, Barb. Dottie, you're up.
I love the Shavasana. I haven't had it as a ritual yet, but I want, this is a weekly reminder to start putting it as a, you know, to make a reminder to do it, because it's so beautiful.
I love this. Did you hear how Dottie said that? I haven't had this as a ritual yet, but this is a reminder and it's beautiful. The whole structure of that sentence I want to celebrate. Because there wasn't any part, and she didn't try to construct it. I don't think so. It just came from her. Do you know? Just came from her. So she didn't say, man, I should be doing it every day. I haven't. There was none of that energy. Could you feel that? I just haven't had this as a ritual yet. No judgment, just like the no judgment on those thoughts that pass. It becomes a practice, and we pick it up in our language because we practice it in Shavasana, and it goes into our cells in ways that we can't fake, right? And so, and we wouldn't want to fake. Yeah, go ahead, Donnie.
Can I ask you a quick question? I actually dropped the ball myself in asking Amy to make a CD or something for us to have the...
Oh, yeah, right. Thank you for that. It's all created. It just hasn't been sent out to you. I created it quite a while ago. So I did do that for you. Yes. And we've been working on so many initiatives in this company, though, that it got stuck, I think, somewhere between me and Amy. So, Dottie, if you will send Amy a note for me, and thank you for mentioning it, and we will do our best to get that out to you soon. And if it's not there, just keep asking, because I did create that for you. Yes, I heard you, I created it, and then it just got stuck partway. All right. So
quick question. Would it be okay to send it to a family member when we get
I see. You know what? That's a really good question. Because you've asked, yes, go ahead. You know, because you've asked, go ahead. All right. Yeah. So if you send it out to somebody that is a loved one here within, it's designed for you. We're not giving it anywhere else. One day we might, but yes. So because you've asked, yes, go ahead. And so I want to go back to Dottie. Thank you, Dottie. So thank you for that. That's important. So I want to go back to Dottie's sentence. It was so beautiful. I haven't had this as a ritual yet, but this is a reminder. So can you see the gentle pointing toward a future that's opening, and no judgment about how it is right now, and using this practice as a springboard to a deeper practice? All that is deeply on point for our call today, because this is the abundance series. We're going to be talking about abundance. We're going to be talking about practices today. So what a beautiful, lovely, gentle way to bring this practice in without beating up on oneself or a former self. Beautifully put, and she didn't try to create those words. Those are emanating from this version. Who are you, and what have you done with the previous version of Dottie? We loved her too, right? This is a new version of Dottie, and then those words come out without trying. Love it. Thank you, Dottie. Beautiful. All right. Anything else bursting to be said, without which we can't go forward? Anyone else wanting to share, or something that needs to be said? Just want to empty out the room a little bit. Carly, there was something. Go ahead.
Well, just, I guess, kind of speaking of changes, I noticed today in Shavasana that it was so much easier for me to really just kind of slip into that relaxed state of mind. It was a very natural way when we began working together to just sort of stop in the middle of the day when I'm go, go, go. And it would just, a lot of anxiety and things like that would happen. But I've tried doing Shavasana now when I've been in higher anxiety moments too, just stopping. And it's been amazing. It's helped a lot.
Carly, thank you for that. I'm so glad I asked. Anything else wanting to be said? This is beautiful. And again, this points directly to practice, and also not to, it's kind of like, Well, if I did Shavasana once and then I go, well, that, you know, I didn't like that, I'm not going to do it again, I wouldn't recommend it if I didn't know there were huge, huge benefits with a very small effort, right? We do have to put in some effort to roll out of bed and lie down, right? And it would be like going to the ICSD, just give me a sec. And it would be like going to the gym and I was like, wow, I did that bicep curl, didn't do anything. That's dumb. I'm not going to do that again. And then as we practice, the practice itself changes and we start with some faith because we see it in somebody else. I have been recommended countless practices by amazing teachers. This is the one that has stuck with me from the summer of 2016. Nearly every single day since then, I wouldn't recommend it if it hadn't been utterly transformative for me and for others. So thank you for underlining that, Carly. So don't despair if you haven't reached that place yet. And then that oasis that gives you, and you're walking into that important meeting, you're walking into that proposal, that place where you're giving your proposal, whatever it is, like that changes our companies with that one small act. And that practice, Shavasana is a practice, and that persistence, and it grows. So love that. Thank you, Carly. Beautiful. Steve, I saw your hand.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I've done this a couple of times with a couple of clients, just asking to take a deep breath before we start and noticing the difference in how we connect, even if we're connecting over Zoom. I do it with the start of my class. And it's fascinating to watch how things just settle in, and you're able to, I'm not taking the full 2 or 3 minutes of the Shavasana, but just a deep breath. Huge
life
difference.
Yes, fantastic. Thank you, Steve. Life can change in a single breath. This practice is so important. Can't emphasize it enough. You want to create an empowering story. And gently, just like Dottie suggested for us, just gently bring it in. Just gently bring it in with no judgment, right? But wow, what if I brought this in one more day a week? If you're not doing it every day, but you're doing it here on Thursdays, mostly Thursdays, right? Sometimes other days of the week. But what if you put one in for 5 minutes on Friday or even 2 minutes, right? So gently start, or on Mondays, right? Mondays and Thursdays, and then let it grow. So, Steve, that brings to mind, and Lindsay got your note, thanks. What that brings to mind is how Iyengar yoga got spread through the Western world. So there was a violin player, I think his name was Yehudi Menuhin, something, I forget, I'm probably mispronouncing it, I can't remember now, right? Yes, and Iyengar, he was looking for a yoga teacher. And I don't know, what the other yoga teachers probably did something fancy with him, and he only gave Iyengar a couple of minutes. Iyengar could have tried to put him in some fancy pose, All he did was he put him in Shavasana. And then he wanted to stay, and then he wanted to stay longer. And this person became a catalyst for helping Iyengar get yoga out to the whole Western world, right? And it began just with a very simple practice, like, here, experience this, just a breath. So what you're saying here about how that works with your clients is fantastic. And Carly, for you, what it does for you as you're walking into meetings, this is a very, very powerful practice in a deceptively simple package. So thank you for underlining it so beautifully, all of you today. I love that. Anything else bursting to be said? I love these things that have come up bursting. They're great additions to our journey here today. Dottie, go ahead. Oh, Dottie, you're muted.
I have a question that might or might not be appropriate. And it might be a coaching question too. What I've been realizing...
So Dottie, you know what? I'm actually going to stop you there, not because I want to stop questions, but because I want you to remember to post your questions. All right. I want you to remember to post your questions. Please, please, please post your questions. All right. And then we can get to those questions. So today I'm going to go, yes, go ahead and ask your question. But then it's super easy to post those questions. If you don't know how, talk to Amy at michellegunderson.com. And then if something comes up in the course of the teaching, always I want to make sure that there's time for that. And go ahead and raise your hand. I don't want to stop questions. But I also want to make sure that we have time to get to all the things that I want to teach you today. So ask your question today. And then I strongly encourage you, Dottie, will you find support and go and ask, because you have great questions. I mean, that's going to help everybody about that, right, I had that, but I didn't get it out to you. So Dottie, will you stretch to go and post a question for next week? And if you're not sure how to do it, then make sure to get some help for it. And then ask Amy as somebody in the community and have a posted question for next time. Can I challenge you to do that?
Yes.
Fantastic. And then I'll take your question now. Go ahead.
I am softer today, and I didn't think about what I said, and it came from a coach told me that I was a victim 10 days ago. Now, the reason I signed up for this course is because you touched on it when I spoke to you before I joined, but I didn't really let it in. But somehow I let it in this time.
Fantastic. Great. So happy to hear this, Dottie. And wherever you hear it from, like to be able to let that go and move forward into a different kind of story, I'm thrilled for you. And your question is?
My question is that what I see about myself is that I'm a compulsive helper. And what I also see is I get a benefit from helping, of thinking, of getting a good feeling of, oh, I helped them. I don't think I do it necessarily for that reason, but it is, I'm just compulsive about it. So like, I wanted to share this about realizing the victim and how huge, enormous it has been for me. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to share with the group, but I'm like, this is another time where I feel compulsive.
Right, exactly. And I'm so glad you're raising that question because it's, I need to help. I have to help. It's inside me because when I help, like this is the kind of exaggerated version of it, and it's in all of us to some degree. So, and Dottie, you've nailed it right on. It's really important to back off of that, right? Because if I compulsively need to help and there's something in me that goes, good on me because I'm helping. And I need that and it feeds me and I need that. That's raga. That's attachment. In the yoga tradition, that's I'm hanging on to something. And in that, I'm going to end up suffering. Strangely enough, by my helping. If I need to help and I'm doing it to fill my need almost before sometimes the helping the other person, none of that can fly. So these are great notices. And Dottie, when you post that question next week, go ahead and post a question about whatever you need. It could be a follow-up question to that or whatever is your best next step. And then that gives us like that structure allows me to help all of you the best that I can and to make sure that I tend to the questions that have been posted first. And remember, there's lots of ways to get your questions answered too. You can ask them here. You can ask them in the Facebook page. You can tag and text me. Please do that. All right, I get that very rarely, but go ahead and do that because I will go in the Facebook forum and answer that question for you. But I need to know that it's there. You can ask your small group. You can ask your buddy. You can post questions for here beforehand. You can post them in the small group if you have that. So there's lots of different ways to get your questions answered. So don't think there's only one. Remember that there's not just one channel, all right? So thanks for that, Dottie. Love that. All right. I'm not even going to call for anything bursting to be said because there's so much I want to share with you today. So I'm just going to say, let's do as Steve suggested and take a collective breath to clear out a space. So inhaling and then exhale, just let it go. And again, inhaling. Exhale, let it go. Letting you, I'm just going to mute all the lines. There's a couple that are open right now just to make sure that we have a nice clear line. Whatever's bubbling up inside you, articulating that can clear out a space for that next step. And also just a breath can clear out space as Steve underlines so beautifully. So thank you for that. All right. So the title of today's call, I rarely get to the beginning of near the beginning of the call, but here it is. And we'll get to the pieces of it throughout the call in different ways. But this call is called The Power of Practice, Making Abundance Real in Your Business and Your Life. So this is the abundance series, and so we're going to talk a bit about abundance. We're going to talk a bit about practice, and these are things that we think we already know. I already have practices that support me, but also I might not be getting where I want to go, or I might be like Carly with, you know, Shavasana. I'm trying it out, but it's hard, but she persists and gets to a different side of it, and maybe we have too many practices, and we need to pare it down. Maybe we want to hone in on some practices and deepen them. If you're doing Shavasana every day, there's the next level. You can be asking me about how do I add breath work on that. right? If you're doing it every day, maybe it's time to start adding some poses at the beginning of your day. And we got the yoga for entrepreneurs coming up. So we're going to be talking about practice. We're going to be talking about abundance and how we actually enact it, not talk about it as a theoretical concept that doesn't have to do with our everyday real life, right? So a couple of announcements before we dive into the material for today's class. And there's actually a bunch of announcements today because we have so much going on in the community. And I always want to remind you too, some of you are saying, wow, Michelle, and I hear you. It's like, wow, when we had two calls a week, that is really hard. I don't know. It's hard to get there. And I get that. And so we also have some spaces. So if you weren't able to make it to all the calls, we're going to have some spaces coming up in March. I think we've got two calls during the month of March. So if you miss those calls, go ahead and pick them up then. Remember that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And if you have trouble listening to it on a recording afterwards, a really great thing to do is carve out that Thursday morning, like just carve out or whatever time it is for you, afternoon or evening, middle of the night, carve out that same time on Thursdays to listen to that call. You could even gather a couple of people in the community and say, I missed such and such a call. I'm going to be listening to it. Do you want to listen to it with me? Or I missed such and such a call. They'll say, I missed such and such a call. Let's listen to them both. And then we'll meet afterwards and see what we heard. So all kinds of ways to assimilate what we're doing and to make it real for you. So just want to, if you're having trouble when there's two calls a week, don't worry. We don't do that again for, I think we've only had that during the Yoga for Entrepreneurs. We've got a call and then Yoga for Entrepreneurs, but we don't have that. We had that a lot during December and January. There's going to be some spaces now in order to be able to pick up whatever you missed, all right? So lots coming up to serve and support you. Remember, it's there to serve and support you, all right? Don't add it to your to-do list like, oh my God, it's hard to get there. It's like, you know. Know that every time we meet and form that as a practice, that's going to create more space for you. How much more space by Carly coming here and practicing Shavasana, and you know, how much more space does she have in her life because now she could take that breath? How much more space does Steve have when he's taking that space with his breath with his clients? They're in a better place. Everything moves faster and more easily. So everything here is designed to save you space, to save you time, to create spaciousness. So remember that there's always another space to, if you missed it, don't worry, there's space to fill that in for you and get that resource. So resources for you, not to add to your to-do list, to create space for you in your company and in your life. Reminder that Mexico is coming up, and many of you have also been asking about that. It's like, Michelle, we want to register. How do we register? I want to register. And so finally, that should be in your inbox, right? The means of registering is very simple. I like to call Marade myself. I like to talk to a real person, but also they've got online registration for your room. So that should be in your inbox, the basics of the details. We'll send more details about how to get ready for the retreat and so on coming up, but we wanted to make sure that you have in your inbox how to register. And also, some of you have been asking, like, wasn't there some kind of bonus and did it already expire? And no, it didn't expire. But now I have a deadline for you, right? Now I have a date by which to do it. And it's February 21st. February 21st. So you're going to want to book your room and book your flight by February 21st. I'm encouraging you to make use of what you've already invested in, and I'm giving you an incentive to do that so that I can help you over a week. And what happens in a week? Oh my goodness. Well, let's hear from Lindsay in a minute about what happens in a week. Right? If you want to share just for a minute, so much happens in a week that I'm trying my best to serve you and make sure that you get served by giving you an incentive to book your room and your flight. Make sense? So here's the incentive. When by February 21st, you've got your flight and you've got your room and you send that to, you know, receipt or whatever it is to Amy that shows you what your flight is, because we need to know when you're arriving as well. So you give her your flight numbers and that it's booked, and you give her the evidence of the room being booked, like your thanks for booking your room, whatever it is. You have a massage waiting for you at Ma'ad Dehade on the company, all right? And you're not going to want to miss that massage. Yeah. Thanks, Steve, for that. Thanks for hearing. So let's see, have we done this for Mexico before? I don't know. I can't remember. We've certainly never done this at Mata Dehade before. Did we do it once before? We've never done it at Mata Dehade before ever. And the first year I went to Mata Dehade, Jack Canfield was there with his wife. I remember him walking out of the massage room. I know the woman, they've got different people, but all their people are absolutely phenomenal. I was going in while he was walking out. I was like, how was the massage? And he was just like, his eyes were spinning. You know, he goes for massages, the best all over the world. He was like, that was amazing. You do not want to miss the massage that Jack Canfield didn't want to miss, right? So February 21st, if you have any questions, of course, you can contact Amy at michellegunderson.com, Emily at michellegunderson.com. Always copy me on those emails when you send them an email, because then if something falls through the cracks, if they didn't get it or whatever, I've got a copy of it as well. If you can't, if you're still having trouble, just text me, all right? You have my phone number, 403-968-3717. You can text me if something is just not happening, and I will tend to you. Logistics, my team is better at it, but if you need anything, know you can always reach out, all right? So that about Mexico, that's number one. February 21st, but just do it right away. Just go do it. My strong, suggestion to you, just get that done. And if you're looking for a roommate, you can go to our Facebook page and our Facebook group and go ask, who wants a roommate or whatever it is. Maybe you want to treat yourself to just a single room to yourself, but we only have a few of those. So if you want one of those, make sure you book that right away. All right. And if you want the rooms are all different, and they do book up at Mata Dehade in my experience previously. So make sure you get the room that you want and get in touch with them right away. That's why I like talking to them. They can tell you about them. All right. You can do it whatever way you want. You can do it online if you want. I always talk to them. All right. So Mexico. Number two, Yoga for Entrepreneurs. It's on that same day, February 21st. So the day of the deadline, February 21st. Please look for the survey in your inbox, because that helps me to serve you. So that should already be in your inbox. And Wendy was alerting me. He's like, hey, Michelle, I got the survey, but it says sign the waiver, and didn't see the waiver. So there should both be a waiver to do this yoga practice together. Please make sure you haven't received it yet either. Okay, so maybe Emily has got to the survey, but not the waiver yet, because if you haven't also received it, all right. So look for both. They should be happening soon. If they're not, email Emily at michellegunderson.com. Text me if a couple days pass and you still don't see the waiver. We want to make sure that everyone is signed. You need to have signed the waiver to be able to play at Yoga for Entrepreneurs. Don't worry. No experience necessary. It's going to be really accessible to everyone. And we're going to have a lot of fun. Last year, we haven't done this for over a year. But last year, we had people saying this was worth the entire year just that day. So make sure it's on your calendar. You're not going to want to miss it. More about it coming up over the next couple of weeks. So Mexico, Yoga for Entrepreneurs, High Ticket Virtual Retreat. So we usually have a certain length of time for the High Ticket Virtual Retreat, but then I went off grid. And I'm like, I need to be there to helping you guys out with this, right? So, and also how we play the game has a huge impact on your business when you allow that the practices that we have in the High Ticket Virtual Retreat and the game to when we transfer that excellence over to our company. So I have, for that reason, because I have been off grid and I want to make sure I'm right in there with you. I've been away in Mexico for a while. So I am extending. I've done this maybe once before. I can't remember. I think I did. I've sometimes done this before, but we are extending the date so that I can be there to play with you for the High Ticket Virtual Retreat for the game. The new deadline for the game, so we've got some time to play, is instead of Valentine's Day, it's going to be my birthday, which is March 4th. All right? So we have until March 4th to play the game. And I know there's been some wins already. We didn't even know, I don't even know all the wins that have been happening. I know some of you have reached out and said, hey, count my win, all right? But we want to gather the wins, find out what's happening, and use the game as a springboard. I care so much about the game, and I don't care about it at all. I care about it as the springboard for your company, but you want to engage fully in the game. Because how you do anything is how you do everything. And the more you engage in the game, the more you have that spin-off effect. I'm focused on what's going to happen in your company and in your life as we're playing. All right? So new date, March 4th for the game. And let me see. And I just wanted to know how it's going. And I know there's been at least a couple of wins in the game. And I would love for one or two of you to share, because I know that you've been having some wins. So who would like to share their wins related to the game? And if you haven't seen the High Ticket Virtual Retreat yet, if for some reason you're absent, please go and listen to it as soon as you can so you don't know what we're talking about, right? So who has some wins to share from the game? Yeah, Mary Kay, go for it. Because you reached out to me and I know. And this win is beautiful. Lovely.
I would love to share this win because I'm really excited about working with this person. And it's the first time I will have done it here. Like, she's local, so we'll be meeting at my home. What else do I need to say? Let me see. The difference between this year and last year, this year has a whole different feel of it, because I was excited last year about working with the people and everything went really well. This year, there's some kind of deeper feeling throughout my whole body that's like super excited for this person. Not so much for me, but super excited for what this person can do.
Mary Kay, I love that. Thank you. Beautiful. And I would love for you to share, if you will. You don't have to, but I would love if you will. You don't have to. I promise you don't have to. I don't throw that word around, right? But if you will, I would love it if you would share something of the number of people that you spoke to have this win, and something of what you learned about the price point, because that would be instructive to all. And you can share if you want to. You don't have to share if you don't want to, but it's really phenomenal what we talked about.
The number of people for this?
The number of people that you talked to, and then you had this, then you made this high ticket sale.
One person I talked
to. And I thought maybe you said you talked to one or maybe two, right? Oh, I just talked to a single human being and they leap in. Like, how about that, right? Let it be easy. Beautiful. Thank you, Mary Kay. And then the price point, because there was a lot of, every time we have a conversation with somebody and we make an offer and they say yes or they say no, it doesn't matter. We're learning all the way along. It's like we become learning computers, and it grows like Carly Shavasan grows. This grows too. So what did you learn in doing this? If you don't want to share, you don't have to, but if you do, instructive for everybody. Sorry for that noise. You probably all heard that.
Actually, I was concerned. I thought, oh, what if this person comes into your program a couple of years from now and she hears me talking and then she's going to think,
isn't that interesting? That's an editor, and you don't have to, but it's like, what if we could change that story around? What if she went, wow, I've got a lot to learn from that. That's really cool what Mary Kay shared about that. You're thinking this. She might be thinking, wow, mm-hmm. How about if we shifted that around?
All right, I'll
entertain that possibility?
Yes. So I purposely made the program a little bit smaller than the ones last year. So I thought, okay, the price should be a little bit smaller. And I believe it could have, it should have been, it should and could have been larger. And
right.
Larger than what I charged last year, because I forgot last year, I concluded that I was undervaluing. And if I did it again, it would be more, but I forgot that.
So I love this, what I'm going to call a luxury editor. I don't know. I've never used that phrase before. You know, a luxury moment, a luxury problem with an editor that goes along with it. And I love it, because it's like, here's Mary Kay. She makes a call. She makes a high ticket sale. And then this is like the next level. It's like, oh yeah. And here's the way I want it to be better. Here's the way I know I can improve. And that's where you know that you've done some that foundational learning, and then here's the next step. I love that, Mary Kay. It's like luxury problem. Isn't that a nice one to have? It's like next time around, it can be even more, right? Beautiful. I love that. Thank you so much. And while we've got you here, Mary Kay, I would love to celebrate. Are you okay if we celebrate? Because you know what I'm going to be celebrating.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So such a beautiful moment. So Mary Kay, not only, and can I tell them both the step and the level? Can I tell them that part of the story?
Oh, I thought you were celebrating the win still.
Oh, I was actually going on to a different win. Are you okay if I go on to that one?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, yeah. And that first, yes, like celebrate the win. Like, yes, are you kidding? Really beautiful, Mary Kay. And I love that. Can you see like who she's being here? It's like, hey, Michelle, there's more celebration in order. This comes from, you know, having hung around the community a little while. It's like, come on, celebrate me some more. I love that. Like, that's all of Mary Kay showing up in a beautiful way. Thank you. And then the other one, I can celebrate that one. We can celebrate that one with you.
Let's wait on that one.
You want to wait on that one?
Yes, because I want to feel the fullness of the high ticket one. I'm still in that space, and I'd like to still feel that space.
I love that. We'll come back next week to the other one then, yeah? Will you remind me? Make sure you remind me, all right? You can put it in the questions, so I'll remember, all right? This is a beautiful moment. I'm not finished celebrating this one. And one of my mentors said, you know, I was asking, like, how long do we celebrate something? Well, you know, you just keep on celebrating until the next celebration comes along. And then I added, you just keep on celebrating anyway. Like, just keep on celebrating that, because so often as entrepreneurs, we just keep on going, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? So thank you for pulling us back to that, Mary Kay. And because she's like also saying, hey, I'm ready to receive celebration. Can we all really celebrate on the count of 1, 2, 3, right? 1, 2, 3. Mary Kay, yay! Way to go! Ask and you shall receive, right? Thank you for that. Love that. So much that's instructive in that. Mary Kay is forming celebration as a really deep practice here. This call is about practices. Thank you. All right. Who else has a high ticket win to share? Anyone else want to share? And it can be a high ticket win, like an actual high ticket sale. It can be something along the journey. And all of you have had wins along the journey, whether you recognize them or not. Yeah, Steve, go ahead. Thank you.
So I've hired a speaking agent to get myself some speaking gigs. And almost before I hung up the phone with talking to her, she had one for me. So I have one scheduled. I have one. I have one February 25th, the local Rotary. So
Steve, that's great. Fantastic. And a huge celebration for Steve too, because we're celebrating today, right? Yoo-hoo! Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, the target is to get out a couple times a month to speaking gigs and get my name out there. So
fantastic. And see, this is not the high ticket win, the sale itself, but all these pieces go into it. And this one is quite a direct route. It's not, because sometimes I would go, you know, this is the one that will lead to the thing that will lead to the thing that 6 months or a year from now will happen. I'm not saying don't do that. You can have those running in the background, but Steve's is very direct. I speak, which can lead right directly to strategy sessions, and is coming up just a couple of weeks from now. So this is fantastic. Thank you. Love it. Very, very great route to put yourself in front of people and go straight to that strategy session if you choose, which is a great thing to do. A free gift, a strategy session. Yes. And Jasmine, what's your win?
So this is even a less tangible one from Steve, but a huge mindset thing. At the very day that I got, that I watched the high ticket virtual retreat, which I made it my goal to do it by the end of January, did it on January 31st and finished at 10 o'clock at night. But I got a new fish tank with a beta sorority, so a female beta fish. And I gave them names of Queen Reina, whatever color they were, whatever their name was. And it has just been, because honestly, going through it the second time, the crown piece, it was more confusing than the first time for me. Because like when I was brand new, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I've shifted and changed, nuanced and like niched down and done so much that like putting a label or a word on it was a lot more difficult for me this time. But I've been seeing, as I do my social media marketing, I have the beta fish just on my desk next to me. And I just watch them for a little bit, just being who they are. They all have such amazingly different personalities, and their names just really match it. And it just reminds me to be the queen of mindfulness habits, as I have named myself. And it just gives me a renewed confidence about just being who I am and getting into conversations. And the conversations have just been so much easier, and I feel just so much more confident talking about my work. I've just been getting and hearing so many more no's, which is just an amazing feeling of not hearing any responses at all.
Jasmine, I love it. So I have my new fish. Every time I look at them, they remind me that I'm the queen of mindfulness habits. I'm more confident in the conversations that I'm in, and I'm hearing no's, and I'm celebrating the no's. Did I hear that? Oh my goodness, this is a huge win, and those inner wins, I find, they always precede the outer world wins. It's like I make this shift inside me, and then there's a ripple effect out in the world. And so do not discount any of those wins. They are extremely important. Keep sharing them in the Facebook page. You keep sharing them in connection calls. It's so, so important. And I love that from a high ticket. I love that we had three different kinds of wins, right? I made that high ticket sale, and I'm working with that person now. I'm going for a talk that will bring me that sale. I'm looking at my fish, and it's changing my inner world, which changes how I'm reacting in the outer world, which is making a shift in my company and my life. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. All right. Let me see. So winds, beautiful winds. I love them all. Love them all. Love to hear what's happening with the high ticket virtual retreat and the game. And let me see. I realized as I'm looking down at my page, because I didn't want to miss anything, I realized I missed an announcement. I'm going to back up to one more announcement. If you are at the Diamond or Diamond Elite level, there are small group meetings coming up in the next couple of weeks. So check your inbox and check, you know, our Facebook thread, because we've got sessions coming up. And if you haven't been in a private with me for a while or even yet, or, you know, reach out to Amy or Emily, text me and let's get that private session on the calendar. All right. So I just want to remind you guys of that. All right. Let me see. So we're not doing that right now. We're going to do that later. We're going to do that in just a moment. And I did say in conjunction with the announcement about Mexico that I wanted to turn to Lindsay just for a minute. And Lindsay, I know you can't summarize a week in a minute, but it's really beautiful when you can share something of that energy, because something of that energy is parallel to, akin to something that like we're going to experience all together in Mexico at Mar de Jade. And so whatever you feel like you want to share about what that experience was for you and what at the Diamond Elite Retreat, what shifted for you in that, anything that you want to share so that we all, myself included, even though I was there, right, can be kind of uplifted by the pieces that you're sharing with us, you know, so that a part of us can be there too, as we're going to be together in Mexico in a couple months.
Well, just in waiting to talk about it, like I felt like my heart start racing and my emotions just starting to get like revved up, because you were so right. Like there is no way to truly put into words how amazing that week was for me. I could go back again right now. Like I just loved it. So many things. I mean, day one, like things just started shifting and changing. It really was a huge eye opener for me for a lot of things that I wasn't realizing where some of those stories were coming in. And I want to just really quickly share the story, because I know this community will understand. And it has a really hilarious ending. That was something Michelle and I got to experience together. But like our first day, organically, I just ended up down at the beach in the morning and I was having my time journaling and being there. And I was watching these birds swim over the water, or fly over the water. And I was envisioning.
I'm so glad you're sharing this story. You're going to want to hear this story. Thank you. Perfect story to share here.
Okay. And so I'm watching these birds and they're beautiful and they're magnificent. But my brain keeps going to, okay, when's the shark coming? Like, when is the shark going to jump out of the water and eat these birds? Like, and I was watching for it, literally sitting on the beach, y'all, like just waiting. Like I was certain this was going to happen. And
look at their faces. Like, you know, like, look at that. I get these moments. Okay. I am sure that this shark is going to jump out of the water. That bird is doomed. Right. And right. It might not be a shark and a bird for you, but we do right. This. Thank you, Lindsay. I love it.
And so it like, then as we like started to talk about this and we were starting to tell some stories in the of my past and just go through those, it was like evident in every single one of those stories that I was always waiting for the shark to come and eat me. I was always waiting for the shark to take me out and never letting myself believe that there could be, you know, that the shark doesn't get you. So fast forward through an amazing week. We had a day where we went into town and I was just walking and I grabbed Michelle and I was like, and she's like, what? And she could tell something super exciting was going on in my brain. And I'm like, let's go back there. And she goes, where? I'm like, let's go on that whale tour. And so I talked her into it and we went on this amazing trip out in the middle of the ocean where we had gigantic humpback whales swimming within feet of the boat. But you guys, guess what happened? That whale jumped out of the damn water to get the two birds. We watched it with our own eyes. And I looked at Michelle and I was like, I told you that you know, might not have been a shark, but it was a whale. And it was a beautiful moment in that, guess what? The shark did not get the birds. They flew away and they were safe. And it was like to me, just all encompassing for our entire trip. And then really quickly, on our way home, like, I had gotten some trinkets for my kids, and I had brought home macaroons because they were delicious and I wanted to share them with my family. And accidentally a strawberry that I'm lucky I didn't get arrested at customs for. And the macaroons are like destroyed and squished and all over my suitcase. I'm like opening them up, so excited to give them to my kids. And it's, the container is in perfect condition, but the macaroons inside are completely crumbled. You can't even tell what they are. They were a beautiful red and blue and green, and now they're a pile of brown. They don't look appetizing. My kids are like, Mom, why are you so excited for this? And I laughed. And their trinkets were broken in my suitcase. My son's like, it's okay, Mom. I'll super glue them together. I'll put the giraffe on my shelf. And it just was full circle of what, in 1 week, just changing a few of those stories and realizing where those hooks were, changed my entire mindset, because those things, shattered macaroons and broken souvenirs for my kids in the past, would have left me a crying mess, feeling sorry for myself and feeling like everything in the world had gone wrong again. And it didn't turn out that way. It was something that my children and I had a fantastic time laughing and giggling over. And can I share one more?
Yeah, real quick.
Okay, really fast. While I was gone, sadly, my neighbor passed away, who I was very close to. And although I was away and I had to miss that, I got to see some beautiful things transpire for my family and see my children and my husband step up in places that I always thought I was the only one capable of doing those things. And so in my absence, I also got to see the amazing growth for them, where they got to step up, and I got to just see that it doesn't always have to be me, that there are so many other people that are there to back me up as well. So, Okay, y'all, I could talk all day about it.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you so much. We suss out these stories. We don't even know all the places that they're playing in. And as they shift, I love what you said about posting on Facebook. Can I tell them that? About what the macaroons, like, because Lindsay said, you know, before I would have wanted to post and share everybody, look what awful thing happened. Didn't even have the impulse to do it. And you also about your book title. Can I share that? In the process of that, the book that I've been envisioning and creating, the book title doesn't even fit anymore. A whole new life story is being, and a whole new company, a whole new life story, a whole new vision for where you're going is created on the beaches of Mexico. I can't wait to be in Mexico with all of you. Lindsay, thank you for sharing. And can I share about the cookies as well, briefly? So Lindsay told the story. I said, you know, just briefly. But I'm going to add this piece of it. She said her family stepped up, and one of the things that happened was, you've got permission to share it. Her husband and her daughter baked cookies for the neighbor. What Lindsay would have been doing, like all the caring for, all the needing to tend to, all that, right? And then her daughter got to share the cookies with her as she's, you know, come here, Mom, have some cookies. Like this, the care going in the opposite direction. Receiving the care and trusting enough that the people at home can take care of it. So if you've got some reason that you go, well, I don't know if I can be in Mexico because whatever it is, I know sometimes things come up. Maybe it's you're getting married in the middle of it. I don't know, right? But sometimes there are things where we think we need to be there and we don't, because other people around us will step up and something inside us shifts and then our world shifts. Thank you, Lindsay. I wanted you to share this at this juncture because we were just in Mexico. We're talking about our Mar de Jade, our Mexico retreat, embodied words, and I can't wait to see you all there. What happens when we've got a week together, I can't even describe in words, and I work with words. So please remember to book your flights, to book your rooms, so we can get that energy underway headed toward Mexico. So thank you, Lindsay. Really beautiful. All right. I'm not even going to ask for things bursting to be shared. You guys have shared wonderful, wonderful things. I wish we had a whole day for this call, but I know I don't want to, I want to make sure that we make your use of your time really well here. We do have a couple questions on deck, and oh my goodness, and they're really good ones, and I had them printed out. Where did I put them? I think they're over here. Give me one second. But I had them right beside me. All right, I know how I'm going to do that. We're going to change the order of things because I will go and look for those questions. We're going to do those a little bit later because I have a little exercise that we're going to do together. So let me see. Just before we do that exercise, let's take a breath again together because there's so much bubbling up here, all right? So inhaling and exhale, let it all go. And then inhaling, exhale, let it all go. I just want to think for just a minute or two about those two words, abundance and practice, because this call brings them together. I've already been pointing in that direction all through the call. I just want to hear from you at first, because we all have some idea about what those words mean. And if you say it, it will land more deeply than if I say it. So first, somebody tell me what abundance means to you. Abundance. Just a few words. You can share like popcorn, just unmute. Might be a word, a couple words, a sentence. Who would like to share first? What does that even mean? This is the abundance series. What is that? Steve.
There's lots. The supply is not limited. Or I should say positively, the supply is unlimited.
And I love that you change that around to the supply is unlimited, because, you know, in many, I think of the world this way, that the universe doesn't always hear no. So the supply is unlimited. Yeah, the supply is unlimited. There's lots and lots. There's no end to what's available to us. Thank you. I love that. One more. Let's hear one more. What does abundance mean to you? Yeah, Barb.
A wealth, but it doesn't have to be a financial wealth. A wealth and more than enough.
Mm-hmm. More than enough. Beautiful. And I love that. Both wealth, but doesn't have to be financial wealth. Can be, doesn't have to be. It includes other things as well. Great. One more. Let's just like bring to ourselves and our bodies in this moment what that means to you. One more. This pause is so interesting to me. Either you're thinking or you think, well, it's obvious, Michelle, so why would I share it? Or what if I don't say the right thing? That would be the opposite of an abundance inside me, thinking that what I say might not be adequate. That's the opposite of abundance, right? Many things that might be, you know, happening with this silent, with this, you know, pause. I'm not afraid of the pause. It's fine. Abundance. What's it mean to you? Yeah, Carly and then Mary Kay.
I think for me, it's like it evokes a feeling of like relief or peace.
I love that. So it's not, Barb said it's not just, you know, monetary wealth, and Carly says it's not just like it's more than just the things. It's right in my body. It's a feeling inside me. There's something that I can sense. And it brings about emotions, relief, the peace that it shifts in something inside me. I love that. Yeah, beautiful. So different, we're starting to hear different dimensions about what abundance is. Mary Kay, go ahead.
Oh, I thought I knew last year, but this year I don't so much.
I love that.
it's I was trying to find out what, and it's something around connection, but then I realized it was something I experienced this morning when I woke up, and it was just this, I guess I described it to my husband, just a sense of peace, fullness that was just there. And I just sort of basked in it. And it lasted a while too. That was really cool. And I wasn't worrying about whether it would last. It just lasted for a while.
So it's not just a momentary thing. And it's connected with what Carly was saying. It's a feeling. There's lots and lots of supplies unlimited. It's not just financial wealth. There's a more than enough. Some of the things that you've been saying, and there's a peacefulness you're mentioning, a fullness, and there's almost an, I hear the hesitation, or not hesitation, just hard to even put it into words, because it's a felt sense more than, once we stamp the words on it, it's like, but it's more than that. it means more than that. Okay. So I like that kind of working definition of abundance for us. And it encompasses, our bodies, our mind state, our, what we think of the stuff around us. Right? Lots of different dimensions to it. Okay, fantastic. So I'm just going to leave that there for a minute, because this whole series is about abundance. I mean, then you can see that it connects. I'm really glad that we're in the midst of the game in the abundance series. That didn't always happen before, and we construct it the right way, right? We're in the middle of the abundance series as we're doing the game, and we've just, not that long ago completed the high ticket virtual retreat. We're in high ticket virtual retreat season, because the high ticket virtual retreat allows for the conditions of abundance and requires abundance inside of us to know that that's our birthright, to know that that's possible, to know that there's something bigger, to know that there's plenty, to know that in one call that somebody can leap in and that it's easy. Like, all of that is linked with our sense and feeling and lived sense of abundance. It's not just a theoretical idea. It's something we live. It gets embodied, right? So I want to ask you now about practice. Right. Remember the title of the call, The Power of Practice, Making Abundance Real in Your Business and Your Life. So something about practice, the first call in the abundance series. What does practice mean to you? And it can be whatever it is. There's no wrong answers here. If I thought there was a wrong answer, that would be me with scarcity mindset. I want it to be this, but you can't say that because that's going to be out of bounds and that's not good enough. And right. Not right. That's me putting boundaries. Practice. What's it mean to you? All is welcome here. Yeah, Teresa, thanks.
It pops into my mind, the growth mindset.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and so, man, I can't remember the woman who, Sarah talks about that. I know you've studied with Sarah as well. And if you were at Story Freedom, it's a phrase that I know my friend Sarah uses a lot. I can't remember the name of the woman who wrote the book about it, but it's... growth mindset, instead of thinking that we have these fixed, I might not be summarizing this quite the right way, but instead of thinking we have these fixed qualities and that we only, we're given talent or we're not, and we can't do anything beyond that. That's kind of like a fixed mindset. A growth mindset knows that we practice and we gain skills, and by that we can grow into something else, something other that we can gain that skill. So I like that connection with growth mindset. When I've asked that question before, that's not come up before. I love that. Yes. Thanks, Teresa. Beautiful. What else? Practice. What does that mean to you? What comes to mind? Practice. Yeah. Oh, Dottie, I see you now. Dottie.
I think practice is the key ingredient leading to excellence.
Why?
I took a course 40 years ago that made me rich. It was a course on practice. Practice. What to say when people say, I want to think it over, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. So as I practice it, I gain skill in that. And you, the whole course was about practice and it changed everything for you. And for 40 years ago, you still remember it, still in your bones. It's still like making a difference to your life now. Super cool. There's more than we can say in just a few words, right? Okay. So I just want to share with you briefly. I think I brought it here. Yes, I did. And then I'm going to give you this little exercise and then we'll get to questions on deck just toward the end of the call today. So this is from a book called Living Your Yoga, Finding the Spiritual in Everyday Life. It's by Judith Hanson Lassiter. She is like the queen of restorative yoga. She's just an amazing yoga teacher. I studied with her for a week a number of years ago and have studied her stuff for a long time. And I just want to share with you what she says about practice in this book, because this book is really about putting yoga into practice in our daily lives, like we do with Shavasana at the beginning of these calls, right? But what she says about practice is not just about yoga. It goes much beyond this. So she says, if you ever want to read it, it's page 6 in my edition anyway here. So she says, practicing to live, living to practice. And how she opens is not, interestingly, how you thought of it. But some people do. I had to practice the piano when I was a kid. And ugh, right? You know? But you guys are already starting to hear the rich dimension of practice. So she says, many of us have a negative reaction to the word practice. probably because it reminds us of being coerced into piano lessons or some other detested activity in childhood. For me, she says, practice has a different meaning. It is the consistent willingness to open to life in all of its joy and pain. This definition certainly includes what you've always thought of as your yoga practice, such as poses, breathing exercises, and meditation. You've all done some of this, at least with Shavasana. It includes those things. But it also casts a wider net to encompass frustration with your temperamental car, the argument you had with your friend, washing your dinner dishes, and your apprehension about an important meeting. In other words, to practice is to pay attention to your whole life, your thoughts, your bodily sensations, and your speech and other actions. And interestingly, you guys cast a broad net for that abundance as well. It's like not just, it's not just like the stuff that we have, but it's connected with our bodies, or it's connected with all different parts. And she's saying practices too. So it's connected with all these, let me read that again. In other words, to practice is to pay attention to your whole life, your thoughts, your bodily sensations, and your speech and other actions. As you do, you will discover that nothing is separate from anything else. Like, who would think breathing and walking into a meeting had anything to do with each other, right? Really, but watch Carly walk into the meeting, watch Steve's clients, right? Once you learn a little bit about it, right? But nothing is separate from anything else. Thoughts are the sensations of the mind, just as sensations are the thoughts of the body. Each moment of your life is a moment of potential practice. Practice, then, can be understood as a willingness to return to the reality of this very moment, that is, to observe with dispassion and clarity exactly what is right now. Does this moment call for silence or for answers? Is the person in front of me asking for information or the reassurance of my love? Am I reacting from fear or from necessity? Obviously, there's no guarantee that I'm correct, but relying on paying attention to the thoughts and sensations of the moment will give me a chance to respond to life less from my patterns of defense and more from integrity. Okay, so I just want to hear from, like, because she really is giving us, a much more comprehensive view of what practice is really about and how deeply ingrained it is right into our lives. I just want to pick up one thread of what one of you heard from that. What did you remember? What do you recall? What stayed with you from that? So I can hear what you're hearing about that broader view of what practice might be for us. Who would like to share? What'd you hear? What'd you remember? Just one piece, one phrase, doesn't matter. It's like there's no wrong here. Yeah, Carly, go ahead.
I guess what came to mind after hearing that is like, it's like purposeful evolvement.
Purposeful, did you say purposeful evolvement?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love that. Explain more what you mean by that, because I can hear what I think you're saying, and I love it.
Well, I mean, evolving, you know, sometimes things in life you can't necessarily control, but you're purposefully choosing to practice things so that you're going to grow with the things that come your way and then also manifest things that can make your life wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. So it's happening. It's purposeful evolvement. I love that. It's an evolving life. It's purposeful. I'm intentional in that. And it's moment by moment. I'm always practicing. Like, how is it that I'm brushing my teeth? Am I brushing my teeth angrily? Am I throwing the toothbrush across the room or pounding it back? You know, like, it's all, we can think of it all as practice. So what is it that I'm practicing in my life? And I think of that moment in, if you've seen the original Star Wars, and, Ben Kenobi, Obi-Wan Kenobi, has Luke practicing with a lightsaber, right? And he needs to practice over and over again. And it's a mind state. It's his body. It encompasses his whole attitude to the world. And the first couple times, he gets he gets hit by the thing that he's that he's practicing with. It's like, oh, you know, he's just not in the flow of the Force in Star Wars. And we think, oh, that's just a movie. That's just Star Wars. But it tells us a lot about practice, the importance of practice in focused intentionality, in creating an empowering story, because that practice happens. He doesn't just go and face Darth Vader in the moment, face his biggest fears, his, you know, the hardest moments and so on. He practices beforehand, just like we practice Shavasana before things blow up in our lives or before that crisis or whatever. So we have it as a practice for us, right? So we practice, and in practicing, there's an evolution in ourselves, and there's purpose and intention, and we create so much more than just that, you know, little habit. We create who we are and how we be in the world. So important at the outset of the abundance series to think about our practices, because depending on what we practice, we're creating a life of abundance or not for us with the habits of mind, the habits of body, the habits of thought that we have, right? And more than just habits, practices. I'm not going to go into the details, but the yogis have multiple different words for practices, and they all have a different nuance in and around practice because they know how important practice is, right? So what I want to do, I told you I'd give you a little exercise, and then we're going to go to a brief discussion of that. We'll pick up this conversation next time as well, because I want to make sure we have time for the questions on deck, Mary Kay's questions. There are a couple of great questions here. So the assignment that I'm going to give you is this. I'm going to break you up into rooms in just a minute, and watch how you're practicing. Watch how you're playing. Once you get into your room, I'm going to give you a YouTube. I'm going to suggest that you go look something up on YouTube. You go watch it. You go talk about it, and then come back. And all I want you to do is, like, what do you notice in this? We've just been talking about practices. We've just been talking about abundance. Just what do you notice? What are your observations about this? I'm not going to make it more specific than that. But I want you to watch how you're playing, because I want you all to watch this four-minute clip. I'm going to give you 10 minutes to do this. We're going to make it 8 minutes. I'm going to give you 8 minutes to do this. It's about a 3.5-minute clip. You're either going to go listen to it on your own, or one person will share their screen. You're going to have to figure that out quickly in your group. Watch how you're playing. Watch the practices you have. So you're going to watch that. Then you're going to use the rest of the time to say, what did I observe? What do I notice about this? What did I love about this clip? All right. And then we're going to come back, discuss it briefly, and we're going to get to the questions. We're going to wrap it up. Are you clear on what's going to happen? All right. So let me find the rooms here, and then I'm going to tell you what it's going to be in just one moment. And notice what you're practicing right now. Are any of you anxious? How am I going to use my time? Am I going to use it? How am I playing? Or are you just waiting for the instructions? Just notice how you're playing even right now, because this is part of what you practice out there in the world too, even in this moment. Watch how you're playing, all right? So let me see, three rooms. I'll break it up into three rooms, three or four participants per room. Perfect, okay. What you're going to do is you're going to go over to YouTube, and you're going to find, it's a song called Thrift Shop. Just go to YouTube, look for Thrift Shop, go watch it, go talk about it, come back when I call you. It'll be 8 minutes from now, and the rooms are starting now. Have fun. We'll see you in 8 minutes. Don't forget to join your room. Make sure you go join the room. Yeah, see you soon. You still can't hear me? Now you can hear me. Okay, something weird happened with my headphones. I just took the headphones off. So now you're all nodding. Now you can hear me. Thank you for that. Okay. So we're only going to spend a couple minutes on this because we have a couple of really important questions on deck. We'll circle back to this at the beginning of next time, our call next time. I just wanted a quick window, just a sentence or two from a couple of different rooms. What did you notice about this? And what did you notice about what you were practicing, how you were playing in this? So just a sentence or two. Let's hear from like three or four of you, just rapid fire here. Two or three of you, maybe. Yeah, Lindsay, go ahead.
I was uncomfortable at first when the song started playing, like who I was watching it with.
Ah.
Like out of respect for them, I thought, well, mostly Sergio and Steve, because Angela, I know, but I was like, oh my gosh, this song cusses a lot. And I felt like, what if they're offended? Then I'm watching this with them. So
so you need to take care of them, just kind of like those cookies for your neighbor, right? Our stories come up again, right? What am I practicing? Good notice. Yes, thank you. What else? Let's hear from a couple of you. What did you notice either about how you're playing or about watching the song itself? Yeah, Teresa.
Well, I felt compelled to to watch the lyrics to make sure I got it all. And then as soon as the thing popped up to return to the main class, I clicked right on it, which is like, I always tend to make sure I'm like hyper prepared and I want to be on time.
Gotta be hyper prepared, gotta be on time, and I gotta make sure that I get everything. All thing is so interesting watching how you what you're practicing day by day, and it's gonna be related to you know, what our gifts are, gonna be related to maybe some things holding us back, and just observing without judgment, just noticing what is a lot to observe in this. I love that. Let's hear one or two more, either by what you're practicing or the song itself and what you loved in it or what bugged you about it too. It's fine. There's nothing out of bounds. One more. Yeah, Dottie, go ahead.
I hated it. I went back to YouTube to think I must have the wrong song. And I thought, this is a total waste of time. And I was offended by the cursing and the comment about honky. And I threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Oh, Dottie, great notice. I love that. This is very astute. This is very wise, right? I don't like how it's happening. But then there might be something that's like with Steve and the signs of getting rich. We're going to get back to that next week, by the way. So go back to the signs of getting rich for next week, because we're going to pick that up again next week. And Steve's going, oh no, right? He's like, go ahead, Dottie, one last real quick.
And what's the most important thing is I didn't really realize it when I came back to my group. What I usually do, I thought I'm right. That is a waste of time. That is offensive, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't until Marla shared how, you know, some of the good from it that she learned, and then Carly, and then I'm like, then I got the realization, oh, this is what I do in my life. Throw the baby out with I even teach not to do this, but I did it.
Thank you. Beautiful noticing. You might want to journal a little bit after this class and notice it. We'll come back to it at the beginning of the call next time. I want to go to the great questions on deck. And Mary Kay, because we're coming to them right at the end, if we don't get to the answer for you, because they're great questions, just repost them again for next time or the next iteration of them, all right? So thank you for this. I suggest you go back and listen to it again. Like, there's a lot of food for thought in that. What, 1.3 billion people, I think, have seen this. There's something to this. Take a look. What does it have to do with practices? What does it have to do with abundance? And we'll come back next time. And the questions, I did have a chance to get them out too. They were right in front of me, just underneath something. I couldn't see them. So Mary Kay's questions before we go. Number one was, how would you decide whether to use buzzwords in decorating the door? For example, mindfulness as a buzzword. If a word is commonly used and has lots of connotations, would the audience attracted to it be too broad? So, and can you hear and it's a really, really great question. And then sometimes we also have a little bit of fear just hiding underneath. If I use this wrong word, maybe people won't hear, maybe people won't understand. So, and I don't hear a whole bunch of fear there, but it might not even be in Mary Kay, but it might have been. It's like, I might be using the wrong word, but then what will happen? So scarcity, and you could just ask yourself, am I coming from scarcity or abundance? Is there any hint of the editor in that? So my very first answer to that, yeah, so some of you can hear hearing that, right? So first, all words are fine. I don't have any words off limits in my books, right? Like, first off, have the whole buffet in front of you first. There might be like, but then second, you know, why am I using that word? Do I want to use the word in this context? What's the purpose and what's the audience? So for instance, if I were, you know, cussing every second word on stage all the time, that's even though I showed you something with a whole bunch of cussing in it, it's not my brand to be cussing on stage. It's like every second word, it would not match the energy of who I am. But sometimes I might. It's not, you know, off limits either, right? When my daughter was in junior high school, I cussed a lot because I wanted her to know there aren't bad words and she can say whatever she wants in front of me, right? So all words are fine, number one. Number two, communication and jargon. So what is it that you're trying to communicate to people? And Mary Kay called it buzzwords. I'm going to say jargon. At the university, sometimes we had some technical language and people just won't even understand. Or she's worried, like, what if people understand something different about mindfulness than I understand it, right? Then it's not communicating. Well, then define it, right? That's actually point number five for me. I did one, two, and five. And number five is define it. And then when you define it the way you want to, then they'll understand it the way you want them to. Number three, and so when I did my PhD proposal, so we're going to go a couple minutes late today so I can finish these questions. If you need to go, I understand. If I go post your ahas and your inspired actions
on our Facebook page. And if you're able to stay a few more minutes, that would be fantastic. So we can, these are really, really great questions and I'm going through them really quickly. So when I did my PhD proposal and my had to apply for funding, and everybody around me, we all got great funding, and it's because we learned to keep the jargon out. Technical language like, you know, agency and deconstruction and all the stuff that's technical language in the business, we had to learn to write without those words. It's getting to what Mary Kay is talking about, so that everyday people could understand. And one of my supervisors said, if you can't explain your PhD to your grandmother, there's something wrong. You've got to be able to explain it in words that people can understand. So communication, that's at the heart. And number three is really the same point. What are you trying to say? What's the purpose of it? And let your words be guided by that. Thanks, Carly. And then number four, point four, is their language in pillow talk. Is that the way that people are talking? It might be, for instance, Jasmine talks a lot about, you know, mindfulness is her field and everybody there is going to be using that word. And so that's fine. And if we were talking to my rancher uncle, he might not even have heard the word. And if he did, it's something weird and wonky. So I would use a different word in front of him because he wouldn't relate to it. So that's what I keep in mind. All words are fine. What are you communicating? And, you know, be careful with the jargon. Number three, what are you trying to say? Same thing. Think about the purpose. Number four, their language and pillow talk. Number five, define it, and then you can use it. All right. Hopefully that helps post a follow-up question if you've got more, Mary Kay. Hopefully that gives you a place to start. Another great question on death. From Mary Kay again. What if you have a hard time identifying the ideal way you'd like your days to go? What if you don't know what abundance looks like for yourself? Well, we've started to talk about that today, right? I started working with this a few years ago by purposefully noticing tangible and intangible things I liked during the day. I realized I was doing a lot of shoulds and expectations and a lot of things I didn't like so much. These questions come up even as I'm aware that I like to be in the don't know space. So I'm noticing that I don't even know what abundance means for my day. And here's what I don't like. There's all these shoulds and expectations. Well, I'd say that's a great place to start. When you know what you don't want, it's over here. Here's the shoulds. Here's the expectations. Turn 180 degrees. What does that mean that I do want? It's the opposite of that. If I don't want shoulds, what does my life look like without those shoulds? Right? What are the expectations that I could let go of? What are the kinds of practices could I bring in? And that's point number two. So one, turn 180 degrees. And if you know what you don't want, that can be really helpful. Turn around. Number two, what are the practices that you want to support you? So this week, I suggest that you all be really mindful about what the practices are in your moment-to-moment everyday world. Maybe every day you wake up with a headache. Every day you wake up and your mind is in a bad state. Maybe you wake up and the birds are singing, but notice that's a practice of how you wake up. Maybe there's too many things in your day. Maybe your tongue is always glued to the roof of your mouth. What's actually going on? And once we see what those practices are, we can start to shift them. Number three was look at the practices that are in, and Mary Kay pointed to this, both your inner world and your outer world. In the outer inner world, hey, there's one piece about the thrift shop song that I want you to notice. He's got $20 in his pocket. He's happy as a lark. There's a deep abundance at the heart of that. He's like singing and dancing. And it's like the world is okay. Now, many of us might have, you know, 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 or multimillionaires who feel poor. Abundance has to do more with more than just the number of dollars in our pockets. And you guys were talking about that. There's a feeling that emanates inside of us, right? So there's the inner world piece of it, and then there's the outer world piece. And check inside with your body about how it feels. What are the practices of your day? Do you have a rushed breakfast? How does that feel? Do you have no space between meetings to consolidate? How does that feel? Are you doing too much? Like, what matters to you? Notice what your practices are this week, because our practices are our life. Like Luke Skywalker learning with the lightsaber, but that's not the only thing he's learning. He's learning to walk differently. He's learning how to care differently. He's learning to take risks. He's learning all kinds of different practices as he works with his master, right? So notice your practices this week. Notice how they're connected or not connected with abundance. Mary Kay, hopefully that gives you a start for your questions. Repost if there's anything more. Good. All right. We hit it on the nose. Fantastic. Fast, but effective. I'm glad to know that. All right. We're going to wrap it up. Thanks for, if you're still here or if you're watching in the recording, thanks so much for being here. Let's start with you, Teresa. You're in my upper left-hand corner. Again, if you guys need to go, I understand. One aha, one inspired action to take this out into the world. Teresa, you're up.
Aha was enjoying how I play. Perfect or not, just enjoying how I play.
Yeah, I love that.
Owning it. And inspired action is connection calls. I don't do enough of them.
Thank you. Brilliant. That's so important. And especially here as we're in the midst of the game. Oh man, can't emphasize that enough. Thank you for that. Love it. Dottie, you're up.
The throwing the baby out with the bathwater on this vocal.
Oh, I'm so glad you noticed that. This is huge. What else around you might be serving and supporting you, but that you can't see right now, but now you'll have eyes to see. Beautiful. And what's your action? What's your inspired action, Dottie?
I'm writing myself. I'm going to recreate this practice for myself and ask myself, what are the practices that I'm doing? I thought it was I love the practice exercise.
Love it. Yes. Beautiful. Thank you. Yes. Perfect. Barb, you're up.
Well, that abundance is more than money.
Yeah.
Is my aha. And my action is I'm going to watch the video again.
That's a great action. I love that. I am too. I love that one, actually. I get that he cusses. I get that some of you like might have a really hard time with it. And there's much to learn in that. So, you know, and you know, I advocate dancing to it. So Barb, thank you. Beautiful. Steve, you're up.
I think it was Carly's practice is intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Intentional engagement or intentional action or however, you know, whatever word you, but it's the intention and the attention. So that's my ooh-ah.
Yes, I love that. I thank you for underlining both of those. And thank you for bringing back the ooh-ah. I will always love that. Thank you, Steve. It's so great. And then your inspired action.
Well, I need to work on my signature talk.
Yeah. Fantastic. You've got a date.
I have to give it in 2 weeks and I'm going to be gone for one of those. So
yeah.
Unfortunately, fantastic. I will miss the yoga thing because I'm going to be in Puerto Rico.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, that's at least you're in Puerto Rico. That's a good reason.
Well, yeah, I'm doing, it's a church mission trip. We're doing some
fantastic.
Hurricane rebuilding.
Oh my goodness. Fantastic. Well, the recording will be there for you. And as for the talk, fantastic. When you've got the date, that's what makes it happen. So go ahead and ask questions about it, dive in, and looking forward to see how that shapes out. Great actions. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Bye-bye for now.